And welcome to the latest episode of Gaming Disassembled. I am your host, Night Ovoa, and with me, as always, is the great co-host, J.Dot Sloan.
Hello, hello, hello.
See, I didn't ask you this time.
No, you didn't, and I appreciate that. And then I panicked anyway, because I remembered listening to our last episode and remembering that I sound like I have wads of tissues in my sinuses at all times, just because my face is like that. And I'm now just having a total anxiety attack about how I sound. After we've done like 20 episodes together, now I'm like, ew, is that what I sound like?
Oh, it's okay. I hear myself on voice messages and I feel the same way.
See, you sound normal though.
Well, to you, but then like to me, I remember when, and this is information about Matt that probably doesn't need to be shared, in the day when cassette tapes were popular.
I remember those days.
Yes. I recorded a song on a couple songs off the radio, whatever, on my tapes. And then one time I was recording a demo. And I recorded a demo of me singing some song or whatever. And then I submitted it. But then I like had a copy. So then I listened to it. And it was the most like nauseating 2 minutes I've ever spent. Like, because, I mean, it's just, you're so hard on yourself anyway, and I'm even more hard on myself than the average person. So, like, to hear myself, ugh, God, ugh, it's awful. Like, I think that was the last time I did that. I don't think I ever did it again. And my singing was relegated to the car and the showers.
I've never gave a fuck about how bad I sing. The best part was with the advent of Rock Band and me actually trying to sing, like, how the song's supposed to go. That's where we found out that I'm a high soprano, and when I don't know how the notes are supposed to go, I sing in a way that makes dogs cry.
You sing in your falsetto, but your falsetto is like 10 octaves high.
Oh my God, it's so terrifying, you know, and maybe that's what I should be doing the show. Here we go, we're 14 minutes in already, and maybe instead of, you know, doing my nasally, I'm a nerd and I mouth breathe voice, I should be like, "So, Matt, it's good to see you. I'm glad to be on the show today."
Yeah, let's go with the nerdy voice. It's good.
Way to be positive about that.
There's some, okay, here's my thing. And we're going to launch, I'm not going to derail us completely. But not everything needs to be a musical. So, Buffy, like, the episode I hate the most...
Is it really one more time with feeling?
Is that me? Ugh. It's Buffy. It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Nowhere in that title says sing, musical, nothing. It's about killing vampires, and we don't need to sing. We don't need to sing. And then all of a sudden, like, everything has a musical episode. It's ugh. Stop it. I love music. I don't want it in, like, my shows. Constantly. I love musicals too, because that's not even me saying like whatever.
I know you love musicals, and I'm serious. I'm actually just letting you go because this is probably the funniest rant that I've ever gotten to witness from you. And you know, this is our show. I get to listen to you rant a lot, but oh boy.
It's true. And it bothers me.
Stop it. Stop singing.
It bothers me. All right. Anyway.
You know what we need? We need a musical episode of The West Wing.
No, we don't. No, we do not. We do not. CJ does not need to go to the press room and start singing the news. It doesn't. It's not needed and everything. Jesus.
He would auto-tune the news. Get it right.
Anyway. Okay. You know what? I'm bringing this back around. I got us off topic and I said I wouldn't. And there it is.
I was like, oh, I got all obsessed about my voice, and now I'm
angry.
That's a great way to start the episode. All right.
I know, for real. All right. Well,
welcome to the most recent episode of I forgot the name of our own podcast.
Really?
The Sweet and Sour Hour. Welcome to the latest episode of Gaming Disassembled, where we talk about nothing and the points don't matter. Our first topic of the day, I do believe, is... I'm going to click on this thing right here. We are talking about Lara Croft continuing to get her butt in the latest Tomb Raider trailer. So this is actually the first Tomb Raider trailer that I have watched so far. I saw the baha happen around the first bit they released with the implied sexual assault Being a survivor myself, I chose not to watch it because I knew I'd probably have like the total ickies, and that's okay. I mean, like, I'm not involving myself in that debate one way or another. I personally made a choice that knowing that that content was in there to not watch it because,
Exactly.
So I kind of been keeping my distance from the Lara Croft stuff and seeing how it falls out. So you sent me this link and I opened it up and clicked on the trailer and because I've not been watching, I kept having these like moments of like that's interesting and then of course it is you dumbass, it's supposed to be that way. So I'm like, oh, Lara looks really young. And then I'm like, Jen, J-Dot, what's the point of the fucking game? I was like, her boobs look kind of smaller. And I'm like, haven't people already bitched about that?
Well, yes, but for the most part, people are, to be honest, like it seems more of the controversy has come from aside from that scene, a lot of the controversy has come from the fact that okay, why are they rebooting her? Does she need one? And even like long-term fans, like I consider myself a long-term, pretty die-hard fan of the Tomb Raider franchise, and I'm cool with it. Like I think she needed this, and I think she needed kind of a fresh start and like. It's funny though, some people on either side of the argument is, well, she's a strong heroine and she kicks ass, and that should be all you need. And like, that's where one camp is. And the other camp is, well, for years and years and years, she's been kicking ass or whatever, and it would be nice to actually know more about the character and like what drives her. And oh, other than that, just superhero factor, let's actually get to know the person behind that who's doing all this. I tend to be in that camp because I've loved all the Tomb Raider games, but well, actually, almost all of them. I didn't love Angel of Darkness, but I did play it all the way
Oh,
through.
okay. All right.
But
You at least put the effort in, right? You get the A for
I did.
effort
I beat
there.
it. I beat it, and oh my God, I threw my controller so many times. I mean, I was frustrated, but I beat the damn thing. And the last couple were
Earned
very
it.
good, but and they tried to flesh out the story and stuff, but it was one of those. I think she's a character that needs to kind of be reset a little bit. And so far from what I have seen, I've really liked the direction Crystal Dynamics is going. So this trailer debuted at the VGAs last weekend, amidst a ton of other trailers. And I think honestly, out of all the trailers I've seen, and I actually got to play this at a convention. And of all the things I've seen, I think this is like the most compelling trailer slash advertisement for this game. Like, I think this trailer and this package is what they should run with from here until it releases in
And
March.
it totally was. I mean, like the arrow bits, I was really intrigued by, and the sneaking up behind the dudes, and I was like, that is these are things that I would enjoy playing. I am enjoying this trailer for it is showing me gameplay that I would look forward to playing,
Exactly.
So, definitely, it's a much better presentation than I think what they put out before, and I am glad that this is where I get to come in and avoid. All of the angry snot monsters or whatever, the neckbeards having their spaz fits.
Yeah,
Now,
because that it's funny. They announced this and then they showed the initial trailer and then they went silent for like months. Like, and I think part of the reason for that was to let all that subside and let all the pissed off people like yawn about it, and then finally when that subsided they started to release new information, because I mean they're not stupid. She's a lightning rod anyway. This is a franchise that has been much debated anyway. And what's funny is one of the I guess almost negative connotations that it had was that it was very Uncharted like, and if you watch the trailer, yeah, you can see,
I can totally see that,
yeah, but I don't. They said, basically she spends the whole trailer, especially in earlier trailers, they focused more on the action of, like all the stuff that was happening around her, and they were like, well, she basically just gets beat up for a minute and a half, and I didn't think that was fair because, okay, in the Uncharted games, I mean, I've played them. You spend half the time falling, grabbing on the crap, hurting yourself, landing on your ribs, almost falling into vats, and that's okay because it's a dude, but you get with a chick and all of a sudden it's like it's a
Ooh.
problem. And I don't see I think it should be both ways, right? I mean, she's a
Well, no. Keep in mind that, that you really can't have it both ways, that the gender dynamic changes because there is a strong history of abusing women in media to for shock value or to for incentive to do stuff that there just isn't for guys. For guys, getting beat up is a power fantasy because you get beat up and then you get back up again and you're fucking stronger than you ever before. For girls, getting beat up is like a thing that happens to make the guy more powerful too. So there is context that does change why that matters.
But it
But
should matter with this character, right?
right, but with Tomb Raider specifically, you know, and I don't think she's getting beat up to make some dude stronger. It is, you know, it's part of her character that she's getting the shit kicked out of her because it's making her stronger. So that does mitigate that. And you know, I don't think that she should end up going through. Now let me put it another way. I watched Die Hard last night because it's Christmas and this is what we got to do, right?
Which is Die Hard?
The first one. That's
Okay.
the important one for us. I don't remember what the other ones are, but I need that. Like, I need you know, the yippee-ki-yay motherfucker, and I need, you know, like there's just certain things that make it Christmas. So anyway, and I'm pointing out that one of the things I like about Bruce Willis is that in every action movie that he's in, he gets the shit kicked out of him, you know? Especially he's coming out, you know, that movie came out in like 88 or something like that, coming from an era of action movies where you've got like, you know, these flawless action beefy dudes that come out without a scratch on them and are just like superheroes, basically. And Bruce Willis is like, no. Now in my movies, I fucking get kicked to hell.
Yeah, he does.
He does. And I like that about him. So, you know, in that sense, I would look forward to seeing that with Lara Croft. And if that's part of her character, that's great. You know, but I can see why people would complain just because of that particular context. But I wouldn't take the. If they do it right, those complaints don't need to be taken too seriously. Let me put it that
Yeah, it
way.
makes sense.
Not all complaints are equal. You know, some of us are just like,
Exactly. They blues close it. Well, okay, so I think we can agree that that is a the trailer and just all this right now, like the way they're going about, you know, promoting this game and everything, is the it's pretty along the right way to do it. So now, for context, let's bring in the wrong way.
God. No,
So
it's okay. Because at first, you know, because here's the thing. Okay, so we're looking at the, and I'm totally cutting you off. I'm like, rah, rah,
You're
rah,
not
rah. I'm
cutting me
speaking to my
off.
rah, 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 rah. So
I
the
podcast with a
zombie.
Muppet, evidently.
I know, right? Can we just build Muppets and then have a video podcast of us Muppeting at each other? Oh my God. So here's the thing. I look at this ad for, what is it, the Zombie U for the Wii U.
Yeah.
And it's a chick with in her under like she's totally hot. I'm not gonna lie, it's a really hot chick, you know, with her peeling off her bra and underpants, and it says she's got a body to die for. And then I guess you flip it over or open the cover or whatever, and she's now zombified. She's still in her underpants, and to be honest, she's still kind of hot because her boobs are still working and you know all that. But you know, but you kind of have to be into the, like the ripped up flesh and shit. And but you know, they could have made her way grosser. This is super tame. This is like someone made Hot Zombie. What a game is that? But
I'm
so
sure
I'm
that game is being made somewhere.
all right. So I looked at this, and the first thing I'm like, it's kind of a funny pun, you know, because this is so the background radiation of my life that this kind of sexism doesn't even register on me right away. You know, that I
Yeah.
like look at that and I'm like, oh, okay. And I move on. And then, you know, it kind of sits in the back of my head or sits in the, I don't know, like on my spine or something. I can't even decide where it's sitting. And I keep coming back to it going, I don't really, something about this makes me uncomfortable and I got to figure it out now. So, you know, eventually I realized that it's, and the point here was exactly made, you know, for a game that can very easily sell on its own merits, why is it necessary to create such a sexually charged ad? Even though they say sex sells, but why would you ever use sex to sell a game that has next to nothing to do with sex at all? So they're
Exactly.
basically, you know, selling Sexy Zombie, which you said is already being made, but that's not this game.
No, it's not. And one of the tweets is referenced in an article. That nailed it too. It was the ironic sexism is still sexism, and it's true. And this game has been getting pretty good buzz on its own. Like it's one of the marquee games for a brand new console. I mean, it really doesn't need any more push or any other attention, so to speak. So for this to kind of come out of nowhere. And what's funny, the biggest thing that makes me laugh about this ad is the "Wanna see it" tab towards the bottom right, like
Like
the way you flip.
you're totally like horny nerd boy baiting there at that point, you
It's
know?
like, "Wanna
Like
see it?" And the
you're
guy's
like,
like, "Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah, I want to see it.
I totally
Oh
want to. I
no."
want to jerk off to your ad, and they're like, "We know you do. Come on in." And like, you're like, "Ew,
It's like a sex pusher.
so icky."
It's kind of weird. You almost want to read it in the Family Guy creepy guy voice. You want a popsicle? You always want to do that. You just want to see it? You want to see it? Yeah, she's dead. Yeah, those breasts are undead. It's kind of creepy. It's kind of creepy when you put it in that context. It was just kind of funny to me that Ubisoft would clear this amidst, even if you're just looking at it from a PR perspective, all of the hoopla that has been made recently by other sexism faux pas in the industry, and like the complete Twitter barrage and all these things that this topic has been getting on blogs everywhere. And then that's the time you pick to do this? Like, it's just, are they paying attention? Like, it just kind of boggled my mind as to why you would clear this ad now. You know, it's just, to me, it's just stupid from that point of view, nonetheless, that it's sexist and all this stuff. But I mean, I think you can look at it once and kind of get that impression. Like, I don't think you need a focus group to tell you that this is a little it's a little off.
Little
But
questionable.
yeah, you know, so
I
why
mean,
do you, it's
it's pretty
just, it's,
much, I don't know. I think they just had one guy that they weren't paying attention to, and he ran with it, and they were like, "Yeah, we're busy, whatever, looks good," and moved on with their lives. I mean, shit happens.
a roll.
I've said some shit that I immediately, I've said some shit on this podcast that I've regretted. But John, well, you know what? Not even like in a defense, like, "Well, I said it, and it's okay. It's just my opinion." Bullshit. I just went, "I'm human, and I fucked that up, so I'm just gonna move on with my life," you know?
It's true, but the difference is that we don't have like whole like PR and editorial departments clearing our stuff
That's
either.
true.
So this had to get through like multiple people to be released into a magazine or into the web. So you're like, now all of a sudden it's like three or four people looking at this thing and not just one guy in the corner who everyone ignored on idea submission day,
On
and then he
idea
snuck it
submission
by.
day. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I agree.
It's just like, really? Really, guys? Because yeah, I've said a ton of crap on this podcast that I regret, but I can edit it out.
That's true too. And then you're hitting there and you hear that and you're like, I don't think that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, and
Zip.
don't think I haven't. I've edited the shit out of my statements.
That was ickies. But you know what is not ickies? Hey, look, I'm gonna pretend we have a segue.
Oh.
Okay, so I saw this today. I went hunting around, and this came out a couple days ago also, I think, at the VGAs, where apparently Steam is planning to basically release their own console. Right now, it's very cleverly called the Steam Box, which I think is probably not going to, stick. Or maybe they will stick with the Steam Box, because honestly, really, nothing could be named worse than the Wii.
I was gonna say it's
But
kind of hard to beat the
yeah, so you know what? I'll go for Steam Box. I'll make vagina jokes, but that's okay. They will be funny. Hey baby, wanna come play with my Steam Box? Now I'm being creepy. Hey guys, wanna come play with my Steam? So I've made no particular secret of how much I've loved Steam. I've actually completely abandoned console gaming, basically in favor of Steam. I have a big tank of a computer hooked up to my television, and that's my gaming computer, and it is basically all Steam all the time. You know, most of like a 90. I think the only game on there that is not downloaded from Steam is a Baldur's Gate, but that's because I had to do crazy shit to get it to work on the computer in the first place because that game is too old. Of course, now there's an iPad app for
I
it,
was gonna
so
say, yeah, they just released a trailer for it.
they just released it. It's now an application, and as much as it looks beautiful. I've played with the app a little bit. I doesn't even get it. Do we still call it an app if it's just a full game? But on a
Yeah, but it's still like it's in the yeah, it's a that's a hazy area. I don't even think Apple's worked that out yet.
Yeah, so anyway, but I've seen it. It looks gorgeous, you know. John's been playing it, so I've been getting those like weird nostalgia bits every time the NPCs talk, you know. And he hasn't picked up Minsk yet, so I haven't heard "Go for the eyes, boo." But I'm sure as soon as he does, I would be like, "Yee, do it again!" You know? But the biggest draw for me, this is so terrible. The biggest draw for me for playing Baldur's Gate on the computer is that I can cheat. That game is too hard for me.
Really?
Yes. So I want to be able to give myself a whole bunch of gold and then buy all the awesome equipment and then go adventuring. So yeah. I die too much and I get frustrated. So anyway, so Steam, which is what we're talking about. Apart from that one example, Steam is pretty much my main gaming anyway. So they want to release a console. That basically, it sounds more like it's going to be a hybrid between a PC and an actual console, like an Xbox or whatever. I think it's going to have a little more functionality than just, you know, shove a disc in and move on. And obviously, it's probably going to be a lot more online and digital content. I don't even know if it would even need to accept discs, considering Steam is entirely, you know, direct to PC stuff.
Now, okay, so this has been rumored for I don't know how long that they've been making the run. And then they released Big Picture Mode, so that just fed into it more. You know, why would they need to display, a PC? Why would they need to change the resolution to fit a TV if they weren't going to dip into that arena at some point? So, I mean, it's been coming. If that's the case, being someone who has a Mac, who of course has that extra layer. That extra barrier between when I want to play, that means I got to go buy Windows, which I really don't want to, because if I wanted Windows, I would buy a damn PC, but I don't. So I want a Mac.
So this for you is actually a really good choice. Like I have one of each. I've got a PC for my gaming shit and a Mac for my work, and for exactly that reason, because you know, because I don't want to deal with having to wait for games to come out for a Mac or having to skip games or whatever. So I just have a honkin' you know, PC over there that I can go play games on, and that, you know, that thing is only used for playing games and streaming movies. I'm not doing any work on that thing.
Exactly. Yeah, and if they release a small box that I got to pay 100, let's say 200, let's say 250, $200 for, and I
Sure.
all of a sudden have every single PC game that I've wanted to play open to me on day one, right? They would automatically have the best launching lineup of anything ever released because
I can feel your boner from the future. I really can. It's a little
I mean,
uncomfortable, Matt. I'm really sorry to say
I would
that,
pre-order it.
but
If it came out tomorrow, I would my money would be down.
yep, you'd be done.
And
Yeah, that's
that's
actually, I didn't even think about that context, and that's actually totally brilliant. You know, for me, I, you know, like I said, I've already basically built myself a Steam box.
Well, yeah,
It's just,
basically.
I'm 12. I can't not giggle at that,
Because you
but you
hook up
know.
yours up to your TV, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty much already there. I've built my console, and you know, I guess it's got music and TV shows and stuff on it. Or no, it's got a lot of music on it too. But you know, I use Amazon Cloud Player and everything. I mean, my music is all cloud stuff, and my movies and everything is like 90% streaming and all of that. I actually have to use the disc right now around Christmas time because I do have movies on disc, like you know, A Christmas Story that I want to watch. But that's it. Like you know, once a year do I use any of the actual drives. It's literally just for gaming and like Netflix or Hulu or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
And if it's a, I mean, okay, one of the things we get on,
which I can say,
other.
I think I imagine that's what the Steam Box is pretty much going to be too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things we get on other console makers about is all the things that the console doesn't come with on day one. So if a Steam Box is released, you can automatically use any USB drive that you have around. Valve's not stupid, so they're not going, I mean, and they've been very open to the mod community anyway. In fact, half their
Right.
staff is the mod community.
Oh my
So.
God.
Yeah, so like you can use, you'd be able to use hopefully your external hard drives, your USB drives, so storage isn't an issue. You can just, you're already hooked up. They'd have a relatively easy hookup to the internet, so you don't have to buy anything else. Like you buy that thing and you take it home and then you update it and automatically you've got like a ton of things and so many services now like Gamefly, I think GameStop has a service. It's Kongregate, I think. They have free PC games if you're a part of their memberships already. Like Gamefly like has a ton of free games that you can as long as you have a membership, you can download for free. And all those things you'd have access to via this thing. right? Because I mean, Steam's pretty up. I think with like some of the GameFly stuff, you can actually download a Steam key. I don't know if that's 100% for sure, but like, so there are already so many services that would feed directly into this thing that, as long as it was decently priced, which, you know, anything under the Wii U, I think would be
Yeah, pretty much.
decently
Well, there was a
priced.
time, wasn't the PS3 like $600 when it came out?
Yeah, and not as many people bought it because it
Yeah,
was
I was gonna say they probably
$600.
didn't go well. I remember the Xbox at the same time was half that. Yeah.
I mean, no, that's why they're just now profitable.
Right.
6 years later, and they're finally making money. It's because they got a little greedy. But it's interesting. So, okay, so you have a PC. Would you buy one then? Would you buy one of these if it was like handy dandy all in one box and then you could like use your PC for other stuff, or would you not?
No, I spent a lot of money on that PC so that it would be a tank for a while, and but I mean that's like I said. I mean the reason that's kind of what I was getting at before. The reason I wouldn't buy one is because I've already built one on my own, you know. And it's like you know I built my go-kart and they come out with the Formula One racer and I'm probably just gonna hunch up in my go-kart and look pouty and be like my go-kart's just as good.
Welcome to the life
I'm
of Apple iPad fans.
fine. I'm sure, right?
That's how every iPhone user feels when they release a new one 6 months later after they bought it.
You're like, my iPhone's great. What's your problem? So it would have to have some pretty radical features for me to buy one. I mean, something that's basically not already accessible to me. And you know, and I would be tempted. I really would. I like console gaming. You know, I like the keyboard and the mouse combo too, but I admit that it's caused me a lot more repetitive stress injuries. Like I had to quit Borderlands last week because I totally stressed out my arm tendons and my hand tendons, and I couldn't draw all week actually. It was pretty sad.
Oh, that sounds like when I played Wii Boxing
Oh, did
for
you throw
like
yourself?
one night. Yeah, I strained like the I have no idea what names of ligaments and muscle tendons are, but whatever the muscles are in between like your elbow, like by your elbow, I
Yeah.
strained both sides. And so because I got really into it, in fact they told me to step away from the TV because I was getting too close, because I was like
Because you're
every
like,
time
ah.
Well, every time they load up Wii Boxing, I all of a sudden like the Rocky music starts to play in my brain, and like I'm going against Drago, like in my brain. It's not whoever was in the room with me. It's that I'm recreating Rocky 3 and 4, and so I swing like really swing, and they kept telling me to back away from the TV because I was gonna break it. And then the next day I went to lift a box, and I hurt myself.
And you cried.
And no, I did not. However, it is an embarrassing story to tell to people that you've never met before of why you strained your arms.
Oh,
And it's not
okay.
fun. They're like, "Well, what happened?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, stuff."
See, and so
Cool stuff.
here's the fun thing about being a girl is my hand was injured. Like it got so bad actually about halfway through the week. I was trying to eat a salad. And I couldn't hold the fork. Like I could hold the fork long enough to kind of get the food into my mouth, but then I had to put the fork down and massage my hand for a minute. And I was having a hard time stabbing salad because it hurt, right? So like it was pretty brutal. But the wonderful thing about being a girl through all of this, you know, one of the few advantages I do have is nobody asked if I hurt my hand masturbating, and I appreciate that.
That's true, because I
You
got
know.
asked that question at least 10 times
Yes,
by.
exactly.
What's
It's just
funny is, most of them were by people who were in the room with me. So that just shows how much dicks they are.
They're helping.
Because they knew. They knew why.
Oh my God. Yeah, so you know, at least there's that going for me. But yeah. Oh my God, how did we get here?
I have no idea. But with that, let's take a break. Let's recenter a
Oh, we
little
were
bit, and then when we
talking
come
about the
back,
Steam
we'll hop
Box.
into the art.
Yes.
Thank you. So I have no idea how we got to that last thing.
I'm sure when you go back and edit it, you'll figure it out.
Pretty much.
It's like that scene from Emperor's New Groove where like Kronk pulls down the map and he's like, "How did we get here? Hey, by all accounts, it doesn't make any sense." You know?
Oh my god, I can't believe you made an Emperor's New Groove reference. I love that movie.
I love that movie too. And like, please don't mock my references. You routinely make references to things that are 20 or 30 years old. So
that, I didn't say because it was old. I just said because like you and me and two other people saw it. Like
what?
No one saw it.
Everyone
like that thing, it just
that movie.
Vanished from theaters.
Oh my god, really? I didn't even notice because I've watched it like a billion times. So for me, it's as ingrained in pop culture as like Star Wars, you know.
Pull on the lever, Kronk. Pull on the lever.
Speaking of how did we get here? So we're back. Welcome back to my beautiful podcast. With my beautiful podcast person, Matt, who we're going to go straight into what he calls collardables because, you know, he needs more awkward words in the English language. And I think that I'm going to let you start off because every time you start off a topic right now, I yell at you about how angry it makes me or something. So,
for real.
Maybe I should let you talk for 5 minutes. So you had some stuff from DeviantArt. That was inspired by some cosplay. Is that what I'm looking at here?
Yeah, because basically there's a cosplay of Mario and Peach, but it's a couple, and so they did a like military themed cosplay shoot, and they did a couple of photos, and they were like, "Hey, take our stuff and like do crazy stuff in Photoshop, and like just have fun with it." And those were based on the group that makes Mario Warfare on YouTube. Which is evidently like a short or something like that, the idea came from. So it's an idea based on idea based on an idea, which is not confusing at all.
And this is why Plato wanted to kill all artists right here.
Yeah, this is copyright infringement. Like, you know, this is what they talk about. But, however, it's cool.
Plato didn't like artists because it was a copy of a copy of a copy. I'm going to lay some college level shit on you. And it was basically a huge distortion of the truth of the thing, which is at the center of it. So he thought that art was basically all lies and bullshit. And that's
really?
What we're looking at right here. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he literally thought all artists should be hanged. Yeah,
I
obviously disagree because this thing is fucking awesome. So
I know, right? Well, okay. So the cosplay shoot, someone actually did art based on the cosplay shoot. And they actually have, I've stuck on here, the Mario and the Peaches. Which is kind of loosely based on the cosplay shoot. But there's also a Luigi, and I think there's, like, more coming. So I'll stick the Luigi in the show notes, but I didn't bring that up here. But it's awesome just because, like, I love all the little Nintendo touches. Like, in Mario, he's got the Koopa shell on his knee pads, and he has the power glove, and he has the giant scope thing, which I can never remember the name of that thing.
I can't remember the name of it either, but...
See, I always forget what they're called. But then she's got the, of course, the like classic Nintendo guns from Duck Hunt, and that's like, and the little Nintendo controller on her belt. Like, it's really cool. And the art's, I actually dig the art. It's kind of
neat,
kind of different.
Well, the art's kind of neat, but this was like the awesomest Peach art I have ever seen. She looks fucking brutal, dude. And you look at the guns on her arms, not the gun she's holding, but her freaking arm muscles.
I know, dude. They actually made her look just as badass as Mario.
I know, and I love it. She's fucking got her boot on a piranha plant's face, like, crushing it, and she's, like, doing a power slide, and she's got this look on her face, like, I will fucking kill you, motherfucker. Dude, I'm so excited. I love it.
That's your new wallpaper, isn't it?
It should be. I don't really do wallpapers because I'm lame like that, but yeah, I mean, the Mario one was cool, but this is just, like...
I was gonna say it's also nice to get a rendition of Peach that's not like her
being
overly sexed up, pouring out of her costume.
God, or that too. Yeah.
Let's take one of the most innocent characters ever created and let's sexify her up.
I do kind of have fun with the shit that they do to Hello Kitty. I'm not gonna lie, like the Hello Kitty Darth Vader amuses the shit out of me. The Hello Kitty wedding dress amuses the shit out of me. You know, that kind of stuff can be entertaining, that kind of perversion of innocence. But in this case, I like to see it go the other way, where it's still a perversion of innocence, but it's not a sexual perversion of innocence, you know?
Exactly.
She's gone from being a sweet, floofy cupcake that's usually stuck in a castle to being just as brutal and capable as Mario and Luigi, so... I am a fan.
Yeah, it's awesome. And so for yours, I forget the title, but I know it's you can find it on the Omega Nerd Tumblr, correct?
He's actually got an Etsy store, so I found that all the images on one Tumblr, which is what I linked to you to. But if you open up his Etsy store, he's got a lot of cool stuff. And basically, this guy has done a bunch of pop art, digital pop art, based on, again, old school Mario and some Portal stuff too. But it's not cartoony. It's kind of more abstract art. Like the Wind Waker is almost photorealism of like the moon, and it's like and the mists, and you can see the silhouette of Zelda and the dragon boat, in the mid ground there. But it looks all dark and gloomy and stuff, and it's got like very evocative. And I actually, the Portal one's actually kind of awesome too. It's more of a minimalist style, but I really liked the Tetris malfunctions, and it was just these crazy piles of Tetris blocks. That are immediately recognizable as Tetris blocks, but are done in a way as it's very modern art looking, but not in a crappy modern art, and in that kind of stark graphic way.
Like, I love the Wind Waker, and especially as being a fan of that game.
Yeah, or you and me are the only ones, huh?
Yeah, evidently we're like the other two people that bought
Yeah,
that
you
one.
and I, we watched Emperor's New Groove together, and then we went and played Wind Waker, and we're happy.
I
That
loved
was
Wind
it.
Waker.
I did too. I loved exploring and running around, and I spent hours on that boat just checking out the ocean, and I really enjoyed that. And then
And well,
I start hanging out with more gamers, and they're like, "Man, the game's fucking stupid." And I'm like, "Oh, but I liked it."
Okay, to be fair though, I love Wind Waker partly because I think it's one of the few Zelda titles that really embraces, like, it's perfect for what Nintendo does. So, like, the world that they created actually fit everything else that Nintendo puts in, like, every stupid game. So, like, Twilight Princess didn't fit. All of a sudden you had, like, all these kind of darker areas and, like, a little bit characters with an edge and all this other stuff, and they're more mature and more grown up, and yet you still have the people who can't talk, and you still have all the stupid little spangly sounds. That's like the word only word I can use to describe bring and blah, 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 and you talk to a shop owner and it's blah, 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 blah. It's like a bunch of fucking chickens and nothing sounds mature in that game, but it all looks like that. And Wind Waker was really, like, colorful and cute, and he's young. And it's like, even though, spoiler, he actually, like, does something kind of, like, crazy, awesome, gratuitous towards the end of the game. But, like, it just fit. And everything else, when they try and, like, make it more adult, they still do all the Nintendo stuff, so it loses all effect. Anyway, that's my small rant for
Yeah,
that.
there you go. That's a it is some kind wait some kind of ranty
Oh,
evening.
Jesus, with your singing. With the fucking singing.
Have found your weakness. You should. Maybe I should hook up the camera just so you can watch how hard I am, like thrashing around laughing at you for this.
I have,
So
man,
yeah,
that.
and the last piece here. So there was the Mario coins one. There was a Mario disassembled where it was like all the pixels all broken apart, but they're like 3D. So it's like if someone had built him out of, 1 inch by 1 inch cubes instead of
Yeah.
flat pixels, and then just knocked it over. It looks really cool. And then the last one is a X-ray of a portal gun. And yeah, I like, I would actually. So the reason I linked this to you is because I looked at all of these prints and went, I would actually frame these and put these in my house. I'm not usually a huge, video game or movie poster on the wall. I like weirder stuff, on my walls and stuff. But these are all things that are just abstract enough for me to go, no, that's cool. I would totally put that on my wall.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
speaking of the portal guns.
Oh, this is the episode of Segways, I swear.
It's a good time. Well, we had this last image, just the X-ray of the portal gun, and then you can get a real portal, well, as real as it gets, portal gun from ThinkGeek for $100. It is a 1-to-1 scale replica of the handheld portal device. It is customizable. It's got stickers and a little outer shell, so you can switch from blue to orange. It's got stickers.
It's got
I just there are
stickers.
so many. I have friends who buy like Moggles and like little robots and stuff and like Transformers and yeah, and some of them are just like customizable because there are stickers you can stick on them, and I'm like, guys, are we six? I'm not really sure like the stickers are doing it for me anymore. But But in this case, the gun itself looks beautiful. And I remember when the most recent Star Wars movies came out, and you know they came out with those lightsaber replicas, and I think they were more than $100, weren't they? Like a few hundred dollars. Yeah, they were a little
But they're
pricey,
awesome.
and well received and well loved. But I'm not enough of a Star Wars fan to want a lightsaber. I mostly looked at that and went, I would play with it and then break it and then be sad because I have a $500 broken like.
Yeah, that's probably what would happen if we're being
Yeah,
honest.
so this is cool because it's only $100, and I would be way more geeked out about a replica portal gun than about a thing. But the core of it looks like the reason I bring up the Star Wars thing because the core of it is light up, and it looks like those lightsaber rods, the glass, whatever. So yeah, no, I totally saw this and was like, I can't quite justify $100 on a toy. I'm still not there, but.
It's only $100.
Yeah.
I
I said
love
that at the
see the
beginning.
difference?
Okay. Is
See
that
the
what you were
difference?
like?
You
Only
go, "Oh, I can't
100 bucks?
justify 100." And I go, "Oh, it's only 100?" See? That's the difference.
That's the difference.
You have a
Okay.
lot to learn, Padawan.
I have a lot. Well, maybe if you got me a lightsaber, I could learn a little bit about
What's great about it, I didn't realize this, but it actually the LED switches to four different colors. That's
Oh,
kind of
gee.
awesome.
I missed that. Oh my God, really?
Yeah, see, oh.
Oh my God, yeah, switches between all LED effects, red, yellow, orange, blue, and purple.
Mine will always be set to blue. The
The
color of hope.
color of
The color
hope.
of hope. I want a hope portal.
Oh my God, it makes noises when you fire it.
Does it really?
Yes, unique sounds from the games play when you fire. There's a trigger you can pull and it makes noises. They'll probably annoy the shit out of everyone, but I would love it.
See the happiness you're getting right now is just talking about it, and it's not worth $100.
Pull the trigger to activate the firing and sound.
I like
It's
active fight.
sensible. Oh, and the claws are posable. So yeah, you know, so the portal gun, you know, it's $100. They'll have limited quantities in December, but I'm sure they'll get more after that. And it definitely looks like a steal at $100.
I'm so
See,
proud.
I can be positive. Yeah,
See?
look
See?
out.
It doesn't have to cost $7 and be available at Target for you to buy it.
Okay. All right.
You're
All
like the
right.
frugal gourmet of toys.
I a little bit sometimes. And can I put that on my business card?
You really
So.
can. Also, it needs to be said that I made a frugal gourmet reference, which hasn't been on the air in like 15 years. So I'm not exactly helping that light.
Well, yeah, but I used to be a cook, so for me, like a frugal gourmet reference is again still totally current and relevant to everything.
Everybody else, like, who the fuck is
I
Frugal
know they're like, what
Gourmet?
the fuck is the frugal gourmet? I love the way I didn't even like blink. I was like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, that's totally me.
Yeah, is that on after Cooking with Ming? Yes, it is.
Oh God, it's J Dot Can Buy Toys. That's the name of the show.
It's a PBS special today.
All right, so I think that's our show, right?
Pretty
Were there?
much,
Oh,
except for
wait, we have
one
one thing. Yes,
thing.
please lay it on me.
Okay, so as of today. I mean, you're probably hearing the show on Thursday, but as of Monday, it came out on Twitter, of all places, of course it did, that with issue number 16, Gail Simone was didn't have Batgirl anymore, and they didn't really specify. It was one of those things that kind of came out, and she actually says on her Twitter account, says on Wednesday of last week. New Batgirl editor Brian Cunningham informed me by email that I was no longer the writer of Batgirl. She said it's baffling and sad. I will probably have a statement later today or maybe tomorrow. And that was it. So basically she
Yeah.
found out via email, like just randomly, sudden, right? What's funny about this is that last week, Bleeding Cool ran a story that basically had said this early. Like about a week early, in fact, that all of a
Oh.
sudden she was no longer on the book. And she came out and said, "No, I'm still the writer." So it kind of leads to that this has actually been in the works for a little bit. I have no idea who his source was or whatever, but this came out, she put the rumors down, and then 4 days later,
It turns
they
out they
tell her
were all
it's true.
true.
Yeah.
So wasn't she the last female writer for DC at that point?
If she's not the last, like I don't remember who else is left of the because there were a few when the New 52 started, there were at least one or two.
And
I
then
want
they've
to say there were
slowly just
three.
sort of wandered off, from what I can tell.
Yeah, well, and ever since, like after the, I guess probably about the 6 month mark, the creative teams at over at DC have been shifting constantly. Like even amongst the males, like not just the females, but like they have been just all over the damn place. So it's not surprising that, you know, whatever female creators were still there, kind of ended up going other places. What's crazy is that it's someone of Gail Simone's stature and popularity.
So
And what's
here's the other thing. So DC lost another the executive editor of Vertigo, which is a DC imprint, also stepped down.
That's right, she did. Karen Berger, I believe.
Karen Berger. So it just seems like, I mean, and the thing is, when the New 52 came out, and there was all that brouhaha about Starfire, and that was really when we started talking about how girls are, not like when we started, like we'd never talked about how girls are in comic books before that. Gail Simone herself founded a site called Women in Refrigerators to discuss, you know, how women characters are treated. But you know, it sort of surged into public consciousness when they rebooted the whole universe, and it was actually worse than it was before, a lot of the girl characters, with the exception of things like Batgirl, written by Gail Simone, and now that's going away too, and Karen Berger steps down. So I'm like really wondering if there's like one guy high up in DC Comics who's just like the biggest dick cheese. You
Well,
know?
don't
Like
tell that
this.
to a like a DC fan, 'cause they'll just tell you that it was Didio. They'll just blame. They blame everything on him, I swear. He's like, and I. It's not all his fault. It can't be. But it, man,
It just
sometimes
can't
shit like
be.
this happens, and you try and defend a dude. You know. What's funny is that later on, she actually kind of update. She's very prominent on Twitter. If anyone doesn't follow Gail Simone on Twitter, she's like constantly on there. She's always making jokes and is sarcastic half the time, and she's really fun to follow.
Yeah,
So,
she's really active on Tumblr too, which is mainly
oh,
where
is
I
she?
follow. Yeah, I don't follow her on Twitter because she's the one I have what I call my friend filter on. All my friends follow her and they retweet all of her best stuff.
Ah,
So,
gotcha.
you know, it's like half following her. But I do follow her on Tumblr because A, she likes to repost all of the really awesome like cosplay for the characters that her most beloved characters. She reblogs anything related to Secret Six, so you know you get a lot of good fan art and stuff that way. And then of course you know she answers questions and talks about stuff, and it gets to be more in depth than Twitter. So for me, Tumblr's been a better format to follow her, but she's super prolific there too.
Yeah, and she's awesome. And she actually wrote on her Twitter a couple days later. Actually, no, this was Monday. This was earlier today. She wrote, she was like, "Guys, I'm hearing that people are getting personal nasty emails about this Batgirl thing. Please don't do that. No one is a villain here. It's just a thing that happens in all creative media. Please don't send anyone nasty emails, really." So, what's funny is that after that, because this has all happened today. After that, it came out because no one. She ends the book on issue 16, and then solicitation said that someone was going to take over like after issue 19. So people are like, okay, well, who's writing 17 and 18? Well, it turns out that later on, they kind of Newsarama got a hold of one of the solicitations before they were pulled, and they saw that it was written by Ray Fox, who's writing 17 and 18. So when that came out, then DC was kind of forced to confirm it. And then at the beginning, now Ray Fox doesn't have a ton to his name, but he's an indie creator who wrote and drew One Soul, which got a lot of really good buzz. Evidently, I haven't personally read it, but
Okay.
it's actually really well regarded. So later on, then once that news kind of officially came out, Gail Simone, in another fit of "For being such a douche, why are you being so nice?" said, "I have heard nothing but great things about at Ray Fox, who is doing issues 17 and 18 of Batgirl. I wish him every possible success,"
Right.
which DC does not deserve because this is a really dickbag way to treat one of your most popular and best creators. And I mean, they looked at it. Batgirl's been like number four on the charts since she started, you know, since the New 52 started. I saw a funny tweet by Justin Korthoff, community manager over at Robot, and he said, "You know, if I was Marvel, I would be slipping someone a very big check right now."
Exactly.
Like,
Or, you
yes,
know, slipping
DC's
Gail Simone a
laws.
very lucrative, you know, hey, come write for us kind of thing, you know?
Damn right. And there's so many Marvel characters that are that happen to be female that I would just love for her to write, but I would just like her to write anything, period.
She is good at what she does. So yeah, it's just one of those things where it was a mystifying move. I'm still obviously not really clear on if there
Why?
even is a why, you know. And again, with this, I think I really did read that she's the last female writer that they had in their creative team, and it's like something's rotten in the state of Denmark, you know. Like you just
Yeah.
kind of like giving it the side eye and going, "Hey guys, what's going on? You know? How's it going? You seem to be having some lady issues. Maybe I can help you out." You know, like.
It's just very weird for me. I think DC really doesn't need another PR punch. Like
Right.
I don't think they need another hit, and for some reason they just can't help themselves, you know? And
Yeah. Oh my
yeah.
God. It's like that guy that's got no internal monologue, and you're like, dude, just shut it down for a
Just
minute.
yeah, just stop
They
talking.
need to pull what they did with who's the company who's making Lara Croft? I actually just totally spaced on that.
Crystal Dynamics.
Right, they need to do what Crystal Dynamics did and just, you know, lay low for a while till the heat blows over and the fuzz is you know,
Yeah.
has driven by, and then maybe pop up with their shit together. But
Exactly. And for context, let's just say this. A few months ago, they handed three books to Rob Liefeld, one of the most
and he
polarizing.
walked off too, though.
And he walked off of them. They didn't fire him, he left them, right?
Yeah,
In
and this is
horrible
Rob
position.
fucking Liefeld, who's I my impression of him is he's not that picky.
It's well, no,
So
right? He's probably not. But still, like, they handed him three franchises, and then they randomly, and they just kind of just. It's like breaking up with someone over voicemail. It's just a shitty way to treat somebody, and especially someone who's, you know, got such a following. Like, this is. I don't think this ends well for them. And it's funny, I saw it also on Twitter. I was like, I wonder if DC just, like, randomly gives her some huge book just to, like, appease everybody. You know,
it's
like
okay,
they
she's
just
not
hand her
writing Batgirl because
Superman.
she's writing everything else now.
Yeah. You know, they hand her Batman and
Whoa.
go, "Oh, this is what we were planning all along." No, it wasn't. Your hands got caught in the cookie jar, and I have no idea why. And you're a dumbass, and so you're just handing her something to appease everybody. So, here's hoping, as a Marvel fan, here's hoping she goes over to Marvel again.
That would be
And
really sweet. Yeah.
maybe
I
can
admit that you know, the books I'm reading right now that I've picked up are all Marvel books, and I am finding myself far more drawn to Marvel than I am. Like, there's nothing that DC makes that I'd be interested in. And Batgirl was the only one because it's written by Gail Simone. And that was going to be my end to seeing if maybe I would like to dip my toe in some DC comics too. And then I'm like, eh, now it sounds like a lot of effort for not a lot of payout. So.
Understandable. But anything else you want to say before we go?
I think that's it. I think that I am going to encourage you to expound upon the particular volume that is contained within this lid container and think that that will make you happy.
I was like, where are you going with that? And now I know. Like, what are you
Say
trying to
it.
say?
Say it.
I totally get it. And that's a full lid, folks. So we will see you next week.